Hi everyone, it's Ryan Hoover, your host of Protestant Radio, where I'm joined by the founders, investors, and makers that are shaping the future of tech. Today's podcast is a fun one. I met AJ through Product Hunt a long time ago, shortly after he launched Card, a tool to create a simple one-page website. I actually used Card myself, have for a while for a few different projects of mine. Super slick, but one of the most impressive things about AJ and Card is that he built it entirely himself. He's a bootstrapped solo entrepreneur and maker, and he's been able to make a great living actually building something that people love and that they pay for. On the show, we chat about how AJ started Card, some of the biggest surprises building the company, which includes kind of an unexpected takeover of K-pop fans, which you'll hear more about. And we also talk about his enthusiasm around no-code and what that means for the next generation of makers. But before I jump in, I'd love to give a shout out to our sponsors. I'd like to take a minute to tell you about Pilot, a bookkeeping company that handles everything for you, so you can stop spending time tracking financial statements and making cash flow spreadsheets. When you use Pilot, you get a dedicated account manager who takes care of all of your books and sends you an accurate, detailed financial report every month. Plus, Pilot does accrual-based bookkeeping in QuickBooks Online, so you're never locked into a proprietary platform. Add Pilot to your financial stack and get back what you do best, running your business. The first 100 signups in the Product Hunt community will get 20% off Pilot Core for 6 months at pilot.com/producthunt. Hey, AJ, thanks for coming on the podcast, man.
Hey, Ryan, thanks for having me on.
So where are you located? You're not in Silicon Valley. You're certainly not your typical VC-backed startup founder. But yeah, tell the audience kind of more about yourself, where you're located, what you're doing.
Sure. Well, I'm AJ, of course. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, which I know is a little bit far from Silicon Valley. And I've just been the last 3 or so years working on this little project called Card, which is a one-page site builder, which in itself sounds kind of innocuous, but you'd be surprised the directions things go with something like this.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been using it now for at least a couple of years now. I started a fund and I needed a web page and I just needed a simple site that lists the name of the fund, what I'm focused on, and portfolio companies. And so I used Card for that because I was like, I don't need anything special. I don't want to write any code. Let me do it in a weekend and it's up there. So if you go to weekend.fund, you'll see it. It's running on Card and you never know really unless you looked at maybe the source code.
Right. And actually, I'm just going to clip that. That's going to be a great ad for me at some point. Because I mean, you pretty much summed up one of the major use cases for this thing, which is people who just need to throw up a quick site without writing any code and, you know, with no fuss, nothing complex, and just to get it up there.
How did you come up with the idea in the beginning? Because there's, of course, Squarespace, there's Wix, there's a bunch of different kind of WYSIWYG site builders out there.
Really, where the idea came from was I was mostly just trying to find a project to work on, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, something that would, you know, challenge me in a variety of ways, as opposed to, you know, I kind of got in a rut just making site templates and themes for a long time. And I picked up other skills along the way with no way to actually use them all in one project. So I actually sat down and tried to figure out what would be a good thing for me to make. And I ended up landing on this site builder idea because it kind of fit within the same category as other things I worked on. The one page thing, that was sort of more of a, after looking at what niche I could target, because I realized there's no way I could compete with a Squarespace or a Wix or, you know, something on that level because they're huge. So I had to figure out what's a smaller segment that maybe they don't target quite as much that I can handle on my own. And the one page thing came out of that because I was looking at some of the site templates I had made and the one page one seemed extremely popular, a lot more popular than I really realized. So I figured, hey, how about I just target doing one page things because that makes the whole building process so much simpler for me and, you know, reduces the scope of the project to something I can handle on my own.
That's pretty interesting because it's ironically the focus and the sort of the niche that you're building for, which are one page websites, is ironically also easier, I guess, presumably than, you know, a very complicated site with multiple pages and integrations and everything else. And as a result, you've sort of filled this hole and almost position Card as like the one page site builder, you know, in the mind space of those that are looking for tools like this.
Right. And it's kind of hilarious that happened because literally, as I just said, it was mostly to make my life easier. I mean, because doing, you know, a much more full featured, you know, Wix or Squarespace level product you know, it would take a lot more manpower, a lot more time, you know, et cetera. One page thing, I mean, if you go through, I actually wrote a whole like pseudo blog post thing, themakingof.card.co, where I kind of go into some of the decisions behind making it. And it was just funny how like a lot of it was based around, well, this will save me time here because I don't have to worry about doing all this other complicated stuff. And as you said, though, it kind of manifested in a way such that it became a, what started out as just trying to make my life easier ended up making users' lives easier as well. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. What's some of the coolest things that you've seen be built on Card? Anything that's been, I don't know, dramatically surprising or creative?
Well, anything by Ben, obviously. The whole
Ben Toffel.
Yes. You know, all the no code stuff is really just blowing me away. I mean, even situations where it's just like a simple kind of wrapper around an iframe or something like that, even that is pretty impressive that someone can very quickly turn out a product or like kind of a pseudo product or something, you know, within about 5 minutes, which is amazing. It's also driven a lot of the ideas going into the product in the last couple of years because I've seen more complex things come out of it. And I was thinking, well, I could probably, based on user feedback, start implementing things to make their lives a bit easier. So, you know, it's sort of even shifted the focus of the product ever so slightly, although it's still useful for all the original intended purposes. So there's that. And then there's the whole K-pop thing, which we can get into if you like. And it's kind of just blown me away the directions that this thing has been taken by users, not by me. I didn't, you know, facilitate most of this stuff. This was all just organic users figuring out ways to use the product to achieve something that they want to do, which I know, I guess that's really the goal of every product, right?
Right. How have you kind of used user feedback and how do you decide, okay, this person over here is using the product maybe in an untraditional way or creative way? How do you kind of narrow in and say, let me build a better feature or way for them to use the product in that way? How do you kind of make those decisions?
So I try to take most like new feature requests. I try to take those and look at them and figure out, is this something that only really serves one niche? And if so, is it a big enough niche to justify implementing that feature? But at the same time, I prefer to implement things that would work for multiple groups of people. Someone comes up with a specific feature request, it'd be very useful for them in that specific form that they requested. I try to look at it and think, how can I distill this down into something that's a bit more, you know, general purpose that other people can get use out of? One example is a huge feature that I added, maybe it's been over a year now, are some new things around forms where you can, you know, enable payments on a form. So you can do kind of a lot of creative commerce-oriented product stuff there. That came from, and I can't remember the exact original suggestion, but that's what got the gears turning in my head to come up with what ended up being what I ended up implementing on the site. It's just this process of kind of take something that's very specific and then try to generalize it as much as possible such that it's more useful to a larger number of people.
Yeah. And in this K-pop trend, I remember when we spoke maybe a couple years ago, I remember you're telling me about this influx of users that you didn't expect who were, I forget the numbers, but how many sites were they building at that time? Several thousand a week?
Yeah, at least. I mean, it's gone up since then. It came out of nowhere and it surprised me. But in retrospect, it shouldn't have been surprising because it's one of those things where when you put just the right combination of things in place, you know, you shouldn't be too surprised when people end up using it a certain way, if that makes sense. In this case, it was a product that was free. That's a big part. Relatively easy to use and let you make something that looked pretty cool. So those features just being there, I think now in retrospect, it makes sense that this happened. I mean, it's still surprising, but I'm not as surprised as I was when we last spoke like 2 years ago about this.
Yeah. So what is happening?
As I understand it, in the K-pop fan sphere, I don't know exactly what to call it. There's just, I guess fandoms are pretty intense these days about, you know, various things. K-pop or, you know, Korean pop music or whatever, you know, is getting really huge as I understand it. And I think there's so many fans online who want to express their fandom in some way. And I think Card is, again, free, easy to use. And I think free form enough to where they can build something that really kind of just expresses themselves or, you know, what they're into or something in a creative way that looks really cool and, you know, works on mobile and all that. So that's what started happening maybe 2 years ago. I thought it would just be, you know, like 6 months or so, you know, they'll move on to something else. But no, here we are 2 years later and like it's still being used this way and probably to an even greater degree, which that's starting to blow my mind a little bit.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of MySpace a little bit in the sense that MySpace was this creative platform to express yourself and people were learning how to basically sort of like hack around the edges and add their own HTML to be able to add glitter text and
a lot
of really crazy wild things, which, you know, might be terrible from a usability standpoint, but fundamentally what people were seeking to do was express themselves on the internet and kind of create their page that's like expressive of themselves or their interests or their passions. And I think Card in some ways seems like that. I've seen a lot of these sort of K-pop fan pages and they're all like, they feel so internet in the best way.
Yeah. You're right. It's just so internet. I mean that is kind of describing it that way is probably the best way to describe it because how else are you supposed to put it? It's just such a like native thing to the internet that this exists. And you're right. MySpace actually, and I actually even know, like read things about how people got their start doing very rudimentary web design, hacking around on a MySpace page. And you think about it, it's like, well, you know, yes, a lot of what MySpace looked like was kind of awful in some ways, but it was authentic and interesting. And it was, a way for people to express themselves, as you said. And I think, yeah, some of that has certainly carried on into Card. And yeah, there are things on Card that I've seen, sites I've seen, that are extremely impressive from a design standpoint and things that I would say are not great design, to put it lightly. But one thing you can't say about them is that they're not authentic to the people who make them. And I think that's kind of cool because I think I've lamented in the past how a lot of web design sort of just evolves in one direction. Everything ends up looking the same. And, you know, I'm guilty of this too, having done, you know, client work. My work ends up looking a bit like everyone else's work. So it's kind of nice to see people using Card to build websites that look unlike anything else you've ever seen. Not necessarily like great design, but creative and authentic in a way that I think has been lacking for some time. Not to get too fluffy about it, but that, you know, there you go.
Well, I mean, and I'll make it even fluffier. I think a lot about how technology is kind of like an art form and it's a vehicle to express oneself. And that could be through a page on Card, or it could be someone who's building a new mobile app or Chrome extension or, a simple web app on the internet. And I think that we're seeing more people, especially younger people now, using technology to express themselves very similarly to how they'd use music or painting or just other forms of art forms to express an idea. And what's cool about the internet is, of course, it's accessible to anyone. So anyone that has an internet connection and a phone or a computer can view a Card page. And it's becoming increasingly more accessible for people to create on the internet because of tools like Card. You know, you don't even need to learn any kind of HTML like you did with MySpace. You just, you know, click buttons and fiddle your way into something that you're proud of.
Well, I mean, that's where the no code thing is so huge now. And for a good reason, for the exact reasons that you just said, it increases access to being able to create things, you know, and I think, you know, that's a natural human thing is to want to create. And I think you don't necessarily have to know any code to build a functional product, and even not a product, just, you know, just something to just get your idea out there or some kind of meme or something. You can do it now without having all these barriers. I mean, we can get into it later, but one of the things about Card that helped it early on was the fact that you didn't have to really sign up or go through a real intense process to get in there. You could just literally jump in within 5 minutes and get started. And that's sort of indicative of just this lowering of barriers overall. So people can just get in there and just make their stuff, make things that they want to make.
It's also kind of a good gateway into either learning to code or learning to create things on the internet. I think the more accessible some of these things are, then it doesn't mean that they're never going to learn to code by any means, but it might inspire them to take the next step. And when I think about I wrote a blog post about this a while back, but my first website I built in Dreamweaver, and it was a lot more difficult to use than Card, certainly, but it was also way easier than writing HTML and everything from scratch.
Right. Especially at the time.
Yeah. I remember, and I did learn a lot of HTML, and I remember buying a book on DHTML, which I thought was so cool. And so I built my first site with Dreamweaver, which kind of gave me sort of a taste of what it's like to build and put something on the internet. And so I think tools like that are really powerful to making it more accessible and getting more people involved in technology.
Right. And it's not even so much just, you know, the tool itself allowing you to make something that's great. But I think more than that, it's also just like what happened with you is it tells you that you can do this. You know, you don't have to just consume. You can create. You can get out there just like everyone else and make something. You don't have to just, it doesn't have to be just a one-way thing. And the tools are getting better now. And, you know, I'm glad that Card is now included in this, even though I didn't intend it to be, but included in the sphere of no-code tools that are allowing people to do that. You know, that's probably the coolest part of this entire thing to me.
Yeah. Taking that thread, you know, you've not raised any VC money. Of course, there's a lot of focus put on companies and startups that raise capital. And in some cases, it's certainly the right direction for some companies, but certainly not for all. How do you think about VC and kind of why haven't you raised any money?
I mean, really, if I'm being honest, it's just the need is not there yet. Will there ever be a need for it? I mean, I can't say for sure. You know, I don't want to, you know, just predict that far out, but I understand that there's a trade-off when you do it the way I do. There are things I want to do. Like one big thing I'm going to be working on in the next few months is Card's take on commerce. We'll see how that turns out. If I had a large team working on it, it would be something that could be turned out probably, you know, an early version of it could be turned out within, you know, a week or so. With me just working on it, I mean, it's going to take, you know, a couple months to get something out there. So there's that trade-off. But the upside is I'm only answering to myself. I'm not answering to investors or anyone else. So that kind of frees me up to kind of take more creative or even slower, you know, just take it a little bit easier. So I guess it really depends on who your investors are. I think some are probably a lot cooler about you taking your time or doing things your way. But, you know, I know for a fact that just if I'm bootstrapping, 100%, it's all me. I can choose when to work on it, how to work on it, whether it gets implemented at all. You know, I get the final say on the whole thing. So for me, it's great. But again, I don't have anything against VC. I think some people get a little bit dogmatic about it. You know, oh no, bootstrap only. Oh no, VC only. I don't think it's good to be that way about anything, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very contextual question. And also kind of, since you are doing it yourself, with exception to some help, I think on the moderation side, if I'm not mistaken, do you get lonely? Do you feel like you're isolated? Like, how do you bounce ideas off of other people? And also, like, what does your even like day-to-day look like when you're working alone?
The thing that I've had to get help on is for my business partners to help on content moderation, because it got to where I just couldn't handle it on my own, because otherwise I'd just be doing that all day. So he picked up the slack on that. Through that, I actually managed to automate a good chunk of it. So that's been great. But I bounce ideas off him. I bounce ideas off friends, you know, and yeah, the day-to-day is fundamentally, though, just me in front of a computer just hacking away at this thing. I'd be lying if I said it didn't get lonely, because yeah, I think that's a universal remote work issue that still has yet to be fully comprehended, because, you know, this has only been a thing people have done at least in the last few decades. Well, less than that even, really, on this scale. And I don't think we've fully realized the implications of what it means to spend your day working alone away from human interaction in person. And I've been doing it for some time, and I know there are lots of drawbacks to it. So, it used to be I was big on, oh yeah, working for yourself is awesome. You know, you can set your own hours and all this stuff. Over the years of doing this, however, you really do like temper that view of it. You become less fanatical and you're like, yeah, but there are a lot of drawbacks to sitting in your pajamas all day and then going back to bed in like, you know, 12 hours or something and then waking up and doing it all over again. It just, yeah, there's a lot of negative stuff that I don't think gets put out there quite as much when I think it should be, so people understand what they're getting into.
Yeah, I think there's an element of grass is always greener. When someone is oftentimes an employee of a company, they're like, I want to be my own boss. I want to start my own thing. I want to be a founder. And then when you become a founder or start your own company, then you realize, oh no, I got to do taxes and I got to figure out like my health benefits myself, and I have to hire and I have to fire, and all of those things that go into that process are really frustrating too. So, you know, every job has its pros and its cons and has to have to just kind of roll with it.
Well, like I said, it's not good to be dogmatic when it comes to stuff like this, because reality is it's different for everybody. The situation's different.
Yeah. What do you use to build Card? Like, are there certain products that you use? And since you're sort of working primarily by yourself, I guess, like, do you use a lot of collaborative tools and like share with others? Like, how do you, what's like in your toolkit?
Sublime Text and a web browser and then a server to test stuff on. That's about it though. I mean, I know like that's kind of counter to what a lot of other people tend to use now, because there's so many great services out there that can kind of, you can offload a lot of stuff to. And I explained this to someone else actually recently why I did it that way. It's not because I have anything against using tools like that. In my case, it was really just the purpose of the project originally was I wanted a challenge that really put through all of my skills through their paces so I could learn how everything works. So everything from server management to the infrastructure to the front end to the back end to everything I did myself, and just so I could learn how it works. Now, will this, and interestingly, I've actually been able to scale that as Card has grown. So I've been learning about that too. Now, I can't say it will be that way forever. Who knows? But in the interim, my very minimal setup has worked pretty well for me.
Do you work at home? Are you going to co-working spaces or cafes, or how do you do that? Because I do work from home. I'm actually working remotely right now in LA, but from a home most of the day. And I find myself getting a little bit stir crazy if I'm here for 3 days straight, not leaving outside of the gym.
So yeah, I do work from home. And yes, being stir crazy is absolutely a thing all the time, pretty much. And you know, it's comes with the territory. You just have to learn to manage it and try to force yourself to go outside and do other things and have hobbies that aren't staring at a screen all day, which again, that's one of those drawbacks of remote work that people don't really think of until they're in it and like, oh crap, I'm just here all day staring at a screen.
Yeah. Do you have a cat? Cause cats are like the remote worker companion I found.
Oh, no, I've got a needy old dog who will probably whine in a little while. I'll take him out, but yeah, he gives me company when he's awake. Otherwise he's just sleeping. Beyond that, it's just, yeah, me and the computer, man.
Nice. So I'm pulling up Twitter. So I asked maybe like 2 or 3 hours ago, I asked what questions do people have? So we actually covered some of them already, but let's do like a rapid fire question. So Amrith already asked about, we already talked about K-pop. So Amrith, I think his question got covered there. So Lisa has a question around like, what are the future of no-code tools like Card? If you were to, I don't know, try to fast forward 5 years from now, do you think that everyone will be using no-code tools to build their app or their product? Do you think that will be sort of the default way that people get started? How do you see that future?
So again, I didn't set out for Card to be a no-code tool, and it just became one, which is really cool in itself. But to answer that question specifically, I would say if I were looking 5 years ahead with the way things are going, I think you're going to have more people. I mean, this is somewhat optimistic on my part. More people will be using tools like Card and all these other great things to try to make things of their own. So there will be access will be much broader. The tools will be even better. And I think most like just random people will be able to say, well, I need to make a quick thing. And then they can hop on, make a quick thing. And then, you know, there you go. They decide to take it further. They can always do it the old fashioned way. They can always learn to code. They can always learn to, you know, do things the way we've done for a long time. But I think more people will be able to just get in there and try stuff, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah. So Hassan has a question here about how long did it take you at Card before you felt like you found product market fit? And this kind of another way of rephrasing it too is how far along did you hit some sort of spark where you're like, whoa, I'm onto something, like something's working.
Well, I mean, if I'm being honest, it was the day it launched on Product Hunt. That was validation that I couldn't have achieved on my own. So, you know, to your guys' credit, that was incredible, like the way that worked out. But as to when I knew I had a good product, like a product market fit, I think for Card, it's a little bit, I don't know if I can answer that question quite the same way other people can, because Card is, by its very nature, kind of more of a general purpose tool. which is why you've seen it used in all these weird, unexpected ways. So I don't know if I can really answer that question properly, because what market is it fitting? It's fitting a whole bunch as of right now, and just by virtue of the fact that it was made so general purpose. So maybe one answer to that is I kind of knew to an extent that it would fit a variety of things. I just didn't know what.
Yeah, that actually goes back to the question I had is how do you know who to build for? So on one side, you have K-pop fans building a bunch of different creative pages for their fandom. And then on the other side, you might have entrepreneurs or people like Ben Tossel who are building entire apps kind of.
People building like serious business stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are very two different audiences with very different goals. How do you prioritize which one to focus and build for?
Well, quite honestly, I prioritize the one that will pay money. Let's just be honest. So the more business oriented stuff gets priority. But like I said, I try to look at features in such a way that I can see more general use out of them. So I know there will be some things where I can't do that, but if I add so I'm working on a new element right now that I'll probably roll out in the next couple of days. It's a pretty general purpose thing that anyone can use, and I can see overlap between these different market segments. I don't know what the correct term would be, but different audiences will get use out of this thing. But if I had to pick, do I build a feature for, the people who are using it for fandom type stuff or people who are, serious business who will pay money? At this stage, it has to be the latter, because that's sort of the, how I keep the lights on.
Yeah, kind of going along with that, Aaron asked a question around e-commerce and what kind of widgets or what are you planning there? You mentioned earlier that you're exploring different ways to do commerce through Card.
No specifics yet, in part because I'm still kind of figuring it out. But the way that I built Card to begin with, the whole idea was I would try to work backwards from what the user would want to see and then kind of build everything around that. So fundamentally with Card, the whole idea is it needs to be quick, easy, no fuss. You can get a site up within, a few minutes or something. So my approach to commerce would probably be handled the same way. I'll work backwards. I'll actually talk to people who want to sell stuff and be like, okay, what would be, kind of the ideal sort of flow for you? And a lot of it is kind of obvious stuff, setup isn't complex. You don't have to deal with a lot of fussy settings and things like that. So yeah, sorry, I can't really give a good straight answer on that. But really, the basic idea is it's going to be sort of that same ethos carried on into commerce. So we'll see how it works out. Hopefully people will enjoy it.
Nice. So Alex has a question here about what were some of the engineering or design bad choices you made early on? So kind of the way of saying is what kind of mistakes do you think you made? And this could be also things that you maybe prioritize. I reflect on our experience at Product Hunt, and certainly not everything we built was a home run. Not everything we built was used or successful. What kind of mistakes have you made along the way at Card? Because I'm sure you're not perfect. You're talented.
Far from it. So actually the thing I've been working on the last few months is you have this experience too. Everyone who does this has this experience. When you are building up to a launch of something, Card, I think I built within 9 months or so. That's about from start to finish, the version that shipped when it launched on Product Hunt. If you do a lot of things that you kind of there's a proper way to do this, and then there's the quick way to get it out the door kind of way to do this. So let's just say there was a fair amount of that in Card, despite I'd made some good decisions early on that made scaling a lot easier, but there are a lot of code maintenance things that I didn't really keep up with early on. So, the way I would implement some things would arguably be kind of hackish and wasn't really set to scale. If I needed to add, right now, a new element that I'm going to roll out in a couple of days, before, if I wanted to add stuff like that, new elements or things like that, it was a real pain having to go through. There was just lots of places I had to update things, and I never really paid a lot of attention to it early on because that wasn't my concern. I just wanted to get the thing out the door so I could handle doing things kind of in a hackish way back then. But now, 3 years on, with however many hundreds of thousands of users, I have to take a different approach. So I've been, over the last couple months, going back, looking at things like, all right, now that I know Card is not just this, fly-by-night thing that's going to fail or go away or something, how can I make this more resilient, more scalable for the future, when future growth? So if there's one big mistake I made was maybe not doing more of that early on, because it would save me so much time later.
Yeah, I've always found it in different companies I've worked at where there's some oscillation, I think, between those trade-offs of, okay, we're going to build this thing. It's going to be super hacky. We're probably going to have to rewrite it, but we just need to figure out if people will use it first. And sometimes that's the right decision. But I've also worked at a company where we did too much of that, and we ended up at some point paying the price very high to the point where we took forever to launch any new features, and we'd release to production and then cross our fingers and hope that things don't break. And they did oftentimes. And I found that like always a hard challenge to balance.
Yeah, especially if you're just trying to launch and you don't even know if the product's been fully validated yet, and you're just, I need to get it out there. It's much easier to fall into that trap of not really giving that stuff enough attention. And I can't blame anyone, because if you think about it, if the product ends up going nowhere, well, you saved yourself time, that you would have otherwise wasted, worrying about, crossing your T's and dotting your I's. But as a product mature, and this is something that I've learned over the last like a year or 2 years, you really like where you were when you launched your product is it was so much changes in just a year, 2 years, 3 years. You as a person change, your outlook on a lot of things change. You understand why people do things a certain way. It's just, you learn so much the more you're into it. And so a lot of that will make you, force you in a way to look back at your code and be like, oh, maybe I should have done that a little bit better,
Yeah. Yeah. So fast forwarding 5 years from now, like, where do you think Card is, and where do you think you are? Do you think you'll still be, if you were to take a guess, do you think it'll still just be you bootstrapped hacking away and building out Card into something bigger and better and bolder? Or how do you see that kind of playing out over the next long time frame?
Oh man. Well, I will have probably fully succumbed to the force that is K-pop. So, that's all Card at that point.
You'll pivot your career into
just
K-pop
entirely. Yeah. Artists.
Yeah. It happens. Happens to the best of us.
If it ends up paying well, that's I'm okay with that. But it's hard to say. Like, even if you asked me like a year ago, where would you be in 1 year? I'm like, I wouldn't have predicted that I'd be doing this right now. And I know that's not a great thing to an extent, because quite honestly, as I was saying, when you start your product and you launch and everything, you can take things a little bit more, you can be a little bit more lax about things. But as time goes on, you have more users, more importantly, more customers. You can't be quite as, I don't know what the phrase, but you have to be a little bit more organized. So at some point, hopefully soon, I will start having a better answer to that question. So people have some predictability around the platform, where it's going. Because if you're paying money for something, you want to know it's going to be around. You can't, me just doing this like, oh yeah, I just like work on this in my pajamas, it's whatever. That is not going to hold up so well for businesses that want to use your platform, especially now that Card is being used for agency level type stuff. I gotta be a bit better about this type of question. My answer is no answer yet, but hopefully I'll have a better one.
Nice. We'll revisit next year then, maybe.
Yeah, hopefully.
Maybe we'll do another reflection. Where can they find you on Twitter? Of course, you're on Twitter. Where else are you? Where can they follow you on the internet?
It's pretty much just Twitter, @AJLKN. I pretty much just stuck to one thing because it was a lot easier for me to manage, and it's worked out pretty well.
Nice. Well, thanks for coming on, AJ. Appreciate it.
Hey, Ryan, thanks for having me on, man. It was fun.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week. But in the meantime, share the podcast with your friends on Twitter and tag a guest you'd like to hear in a future episode. See you soon.